She said, get out the chat room and clean my bed.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
And here's the applause. Mission accomplished, it appears, for Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the all-time greats.
Like he said, mission accomplished. Giannis has actually made Greece qualify for the Olympics for the first time since 2008, his first time competing in the Olympics ever in his career. Welcome to another episode of the Believe in Bucks podcast. This is your co-host, Luca Costa. That's the main host, Patrick Peverty. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Not so much Bucks stuff. We're kind of just going around the offseason, see what's happening. It's kind of dead right now, you know, so we're going to obviously touch on some things, you know, here and there. But yeah, I mean, Patrick, just what are your thoughts? You know, Giannis finally qualifying Greece for the Olympics. Like I said, first time since 2008. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's great for Giannis. Obviously, you kind of wanted to see him play, continue to play basketball at like a very high level. And for him to go to the Olympics and representing his country, we all know how much that means for him to do that. So I think it's really great. I think everybody, as far as Bucks Nation is concerned, is just saying, hey, just don't get hurt. No injuries, no injuries. And as long as he continues to just represent his country, you just can't ask for anything more than going to the Olympics and participating. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of odds they have right now. I mean, Team USA is looking pretty stacked.
Yeah, facts.
It's just good to see him out there playing, out there healthy too. And, you know, and like this is honestly just good stuff. He's getting good run in. Like he'll be ready for next season. Certainly come in shape. That would never be a question with Giannis, but he's certainly looking good out there.
Yeah, absolutely. He actually played a game against Slovenia not too long ago against Luka Doncic. And Luka Doncic was funny because they asked, like, why do you think Giannis – who do you think could go out there and put, like, 50 points a game in? And why Giannis or whatever? And then his answer was simple, because it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, it's that simple. So, yeah, man, just absolutely great, like you said, to see him playing. It's going to be so much fun to watch USA play basketball in the Olympics this year. And a couple of these guys are going to be on teams that we're talking about in this episode. So, yeah, just going to straight into it. One of the teams that we are going to be talking about, one of the teams that made, you know, a lot of trades, made a lot of moves this offseason looking forward, that I think is honestly a pretty hot topic in the NBA right now, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They obviously were a hot topic all season long this year. Super surprising team, you know. I mean, no, and not surprising is in terms of talent, but it's just how quickly that talent developed with obviously SGA, Jalen Williams, number third seed in the Western Conference, and they arguably were a first seed because they lost on the last day of the season, so it's only reason they're third seed. But, you know, they made some really good pickups in Alex Caruso and Hartenstein, and the Bulls are completely blowing it up. So if you guys didn't see, DeMar DeRozan actually got traded to the Kings yesterday. So, but yeah, man, Patrick, just talk up to me about the OKC, you know, some of the trades. What do you think they mean for the team, you know, just things of that nature?
Well, I think OKC right now, like you said, everybody was kind of maybe not completely surprised because you knew that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had pretty much arrived.
Yeah,
but didn't know that how quickly everything was going to come together for that squad and how great of a job that Sam Presti has done. I think right now what the trades mean is that they're full on win now mode. You saw it in the draft too. Drafted a guy who's not going to play next year, and they didn't really care. It fits their timeline more so. And that's kind of a big turn, a huge 180 from where they were just a couple of years ago. I think right now the acquisition of Hartenstein and the trading for Alex Caruso are definitely two indicators that they're in the win now mode. They're kind of paying those guys a lot of money compared to some of the other guys on the roster. Obviously, most of the guys on the roster are still on their rookie deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So So like they have the cap space to make it work and maneuver around it. Every team is trying to figure out right now, like within the first or second apron, how they're going to build their team and how they're going to make it work. Well, I think OKC right now is kind of in that NFL kind of style right now of building where, hey, you got a rookie quarterback, so we're going to try to build the defense, get him receivers, get him weapons, everything. Mm-hmm. Use the money now before you lose it later. So I think Sam Presti and everybody in that Thunder front office, they're doing a phenomenal job out West. And look, mm-hmm. they may have kind of – I don't think it was a disappointing end, but obviously being like the number one seed, it's just kind of mm-hmm. it's just kind of unfortunate to get bounced in the second round. But yeah. at the end of the day, like they look like they're coming. And I'd say they're probably one of the best bets next year to improve even off of such a great season. I'd say they improve in the playoffs, but I don't know about the regular season record. But
yeah, absolutely. And I think with the players they got in Alex Caruso, you know, veteran guard, been in the league a long time, second team All-NBA, arguably a first team All-NBA. The only reason he's second team is because he was a guard, to be honest. Like, you know, we all saw the All-NBA defensive teams this year. There are a whole bunch of forwards and centers on the first team, a whole bunch of guards on the second team. And OKC actually did make another great pickup in Hartenstein. And the Knicks is actually one of the teams that we were going to go ahead and talk about today, who, although they did lose Hartenstein, they go ahead and bring the Villanova boys back together. We already brushed on it a little briefly in episodes prior, but I do think it's an issue of discussion, especially because the Knicks was one of those teams that ended up jumping us late in the season and one of those teams that we're definitely going to be competing with throughout the whole regular season and maybe see them in a playoff run next year. But yeah, the Knicks, they do Bernstein, but they do bring in Mikal Bridges, which I think is an absolutely perfect, I think it's a really good pickup. They managed to keep OG Anunoby as well. So that team's got a lot of chemistry, obviously. You know, you got Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart. You know, they all seem to really mesh together. Josh Hart being the only one of them that did not play, you know, with them in college, I believe. But yeah, man, I think that's definitely a team that is going to do some shaking up in the East. And I think that, I don't know, I think the days of the Knicks, you know, kind of disappointing us over and over again might be past us, Patrick. I know you're not big on Julius Randle at all, but, you know, I feel like at this point, you know, Julius Randle is third option, maybe even fourth option, you know? I mean, I think it's crazy to say that possibly because, you know, Dante DiVincenzo did put on an absolute three-point shooting clinic at the second half of the season. So who knows what he's going to continue that into the next season, you know, keep playing at the level that he's playing at. But yeah, Patrick, I don't know. I think the Knicks are definitely a team that is going to contend with the Bucks in prior series, you know, but I guess we'll just have to see. What are your thoughts?
I think I'd say right now, as it currently stands, the Knicks stock is much higher than the Bucks. I think a lot of people aren't talking about the Bucks right now because our offseason included only DeLon Wright. Absolutely no offense to DeLon Wright.
Yeah, Rob Hurst has been sleeping. He's been sleeping all offseason.
We haven't made any of the trades. You know, there's been Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, you know, those names done around those trade packages, but nothing right now. And the Knicks have been actually super active. One of the most active teams in the NBA this free agency period, and they lost Hartenstein. And mm-hmm. you're still saying, wow, the Knicks are better than they were last year. So I think right now that their stock is higher. Now, the reason I say stock and not that they would be favored in a seven-game series against the Bucks is because I honestly don't know right now. I think healthy that Bucks team is still really good. But right now, I mean, I'd say it's at least a coin flip or like you could lean Knicks because we've seen what this Knicks team can do. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm very impressed. And for that team to improve – now we're getting into the territory where I thought the Bucks ceiling was, which was competing against the Celtics. Like I thought that the Bucks could compete, and we realized nobody could compete with them last year, or nobody who lined up against them could compete.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking two games off of the Celtics right now. That's kind of like the bar that I see. So do I think that the Knicks can get to that point? I think that they're probably there right now. I think they improved enough. Now, I don't know how close that six-game series looks, but I think that should just show you that what the Knicks have been doing is amazing. And then how they compare to the Bucks?
Yeah,
I mean, the Bucks haven't reached that point. They have not gotten close. With this current squad, I don't really know.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're definitely going to have to make some major changes. And I don't know if seeing what all these teams are doing in the East, if that won't motivate Rob Horst to make some moves, and I don't know what will. And I think the Celtics, I love that you mentioned that the Celtics, even though, trust me, this is not and I have no pleasure saying this just as much as any other NBA fan, but the Celtics did absolutely truly just go out and show their class in this postseason, only losing, I think, two games off the road or something like that. They didn't play a single series of more than five games. I mean, I think that really just shows the talent and just what they've been working on. This vision they've been creating has definitely come to fruition, you know, and they're now tasting the fruits of their labor. And those are just that's another winner of the offseason. Right now, we've talked about two winners in this offseason. We're going to bring up one final one, being another one in the Eastern Conference that we also brushed upon in a prior episode, being the 76ers, who did make a huge, huge, huge change, bringing in Paul George, of course. Now you have Maxey, now you have George, now you have Embiid. One of those things, though, that does not worry me about that Sixers team, because I'm not worried about them. But one thing about that team that is going to be an issue of concern is if those two guys can stay healthy, being Paul George and Joel Embiid, of course. Tyrese Maxey is absolutely playing at a really good all-star level. He showed his class and just showed that the elite guard he can be in this league. But I just think that, you know, those guys have to stay healthy if that team's going to continue to be successful. They also got a pretty good draft pick in Jared McCain, you know, space the floor, good defender, you know, just overall, they did make some nice moves. Another winner in this offseason so far. But yeah, I mean, I what do you think, Patrick? I think the healthiness, obviously, and the health of those players is just such a looming, you know, it's just such an issue that I just kind of like, it's a little thundercloud in the background, you know, through all the sunshine and all this bright summer days, just a little rain, you know, rain cloud just kind of creeping up, you know. So I think that's definitely something to worry about.
That's the biggest issue with the Sixers. And that's been the biggest issue with the trust the process since Joel Embiid has joined. It's been injuries and it's been that health. And I think that personally, I thought that the Paul George move for him personally was very interesting because he kind of walks into a very similar scenario that he did with the Clippers. So yeah. I think that this go around, you're really just crossing your fingers, hoping that you don't waste essentially 8 years of your career. You know, he's on a 4-year deal here and was with the Clippers for 5 years. So you're hoping you don't waste 9 seasons of your career on injuries. Mm-hmm. And then that's on top of his own injuries that he had when he was part of Team USA, when he was with the Pacers. You just don't know what you're going to get from the Sixers team. So I think, you know, right now, the choice for Paul George to come to Philly didn't make a ton of sense, especially since it was over a team like the Orlando Magic. Yeah. But I think that the Sixers team, when healthy, is probably the second best team in the East, I would say. We haven't really seen exactly what they can do on the court yet, how they can mesh. But I think right now, Paul George is a guy who can play alongside a lot of different players in the NBA. So I don't think there would be any sort of too many rough patches to work with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. But yeah. I think it's like you said, it's just health. And it's the health with the Bucks too. You know, comparing the Bucks to the Sixers, I'd say how many games does each of those stars play from each team's big three? Like, and then just add them up, and whoever's got the most out of those, you know, wins the series, truthfully.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100% I agree. And Paul George, like you said, he had some injuries in the past. In the bubble, he was dealing with that nagging shoulder injury that he has spoken so much about during his career. But honestly, just the ability for him to come back from the injury that he first suffered in his career, I think that just shows a lot of resilience and a lot of tenacity in his game. So I think, honestly, as a Paul George fan, I do hope he figures it out. As a Bucks fan, I hope that he doesn't figure it out too much, because we definitely don't want to be competing with some guys like that. And just talking about the team that he came from, being one of the big losers in this offseason. So we're covering losers, we're covering winners in this offseason, covering trades, we're talking about all in this episode. But yeah, just one of the big losers in the offseason is definitely the Los Angeles Clippers. As like you said, they essentially, Paul George wasted 10 years of his career in LA, but the Clippers just wasted some of their years as well. You know, and it's funny because they drafted a player that we talked about previously in the prior in the episode in SGA, you know, and there's been many reports about Kawhi Leonard. Doc Rivers actually was trying to convince Kawhi Leonard to bank on SGA, but Kawhi Leonard said he didn't see the potential. He stated that he did not think that he was going to get to that level. Now we look at them in LA right now, even though both LA teams are both kind of, you know, they're treading water right now, to be honest. They've been in that same spot, you know, for quite some time, you know, but the Clippers just, they made these big money moves to bring in Kawhi, bring in PG. They barely played any games together. The Clippers have, I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but I promise you the amount of games they played with Kawhi is probably not that high compared to the numbers they played without Kawhi, you know. So I think that was a huge loss for the Clippers. And Patrick, what are you thinking right now? You know, honestly, let me ask pose you a quick question based off of that. Who do you think between the two LA teams, you know, is okay in a worse scenario? What do you think is out of those teams, you know, who do you think is suffering more?
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling pumped so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Well, I think that there's an argument for worst scenario and who had the worst offseason, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I would say like there's an argument to be made that a lot of people didn't want to pay Paul George a 4-year max contract until he was 38 years old. So they're saying, hey, the Clippers, they didn't really have a bad offseason. They just didn't do anything after they lost Paul George. And I think that there's a lot of people who would say, and I think this is pretty obvious, that the Lakers scenario right now was much better than the Clippers. I would say so. I think with LeBron and AD, I think they're both more reliable and better players than Kawhi Leonard is right now. And I don't really even think it's all that close, just because Kawhi Leonard will not be healthy in the postseason in 2025. And I'm willing to bet a lot of money on it. Or if he is, you know what, they're going to be in the play-in or something like that. Like, I think clearly right now they are not a viable postseason team in the Western Conference. And I think the Lakers, barring trades, barring hitting on Dalton Connect or something like that, can actually end up making it to the second round. Like, yeah, and I actually do believe that, as long as they don't play the Nuggets or something like that. So I think right now that Lakers team is in a much better spot. And then also the Clippers team, just old. Like, I don't really know what James Harden's going to do for you. What is he gonna, I'm guessing he's going to have a bigger role this coming season with Paul George.
He'll probably get paid more.
Well, he's certainly getting paid more. I don't really see it. I don't really see him like moving the needle, even with a bigger role.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that's really tough, you know, because obviously first of all, like, even though like I think the Lakers definitely are in a better situation. It's funny that you mentioned that too, because you think that LeBron, you hear LeBron and AD, right? And it's funny because LeBron is getting to this age where he's supposed to be slowing down, but he's playing some of the most consistent basketball of his career. He's playing some of the most games he's played in his career. He's played a lot of games in the last two seasons, despite being 38 years old, you know? So I think that's just showing he's aging like fine wine. Anthony Davis finally had one of his healthiest seasons of his NBA career this season as well. You know, they're staying on the court, and they're staying on the court together, which is a very, very, very key thing. And I love that, like you said, if they play the Nuggets, we both know what's going to happen in that situation. The Lakers, the Nuggets just have their number. But the Nuggets is arguably a team that was another loser in this offseason, too. Losing KCP. Last year, they lose Bruce Brown. Last year, they lose Jeff Green. They only bring in, I forgot who they tried. Was it Ron Holland? They traded up for Holland, right? I think it was they traded up for Rob Holland in the draft. I want to say that was because they didn't have a pick in the first round, and I know they traded up to get someone. I know it was a big man, but yeah, like, arguably they're a loser too. You know, they go out last year. They go out, first of all, the MVP goes out in a game 7 at home. That's one thing that is not being talked about enough. But I'm just saying, if any of the other MVPs had done that same thing, people would be on their head. But Nikola Jokic, you know, he's proven himself, 3-time MVP, you know, but he goes out game 7 at home. So that's one thing alone. And then they keep virtually the same exact core. They don't make any moves so far in this offseason. Yes, that core in Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. is really good, but then you take a huge loss and losing KCP out to the Magic, which is obviously another big win that we didn't talk about. We talked about that in prior episodes. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. The West, like, although I think the East did get a lot stronger in this offseason, But the West, I feel like, has definitely stayed a little bit stagnant in some degrees, other than the Mavericks, who did make a really big pickup in Klay Thompson. But, I mean, yeah, Patrick, what's going on in Denver right now?
I think they probably – I'm very interested to hear from what Nuggets fans were saying right now. I think that they thought that they were going to lose KCP. I think they realized he was going to go get paid, and they probably didn't have the means to pay him. I think if you're the Nuggets and any of those top teams right now that have 2-3 max guys already on the roster, I think you know you're going to lose players. And they realize that the new CBA is going to kind of slowly tear down some of the middle guys from your roster who can go get paid elsewhere on a team that's not exactly on your level just yet. And that was what happened with KCP going to the Magic. The Magic had a specific spot for him, specific time range that worked, and they had plenty of cap room because they hadn't paid – they hadn't paid Wagner just yet, and obviously they did. His contract doesn't even kick in, or his extension won't even kick in for a second. And obviously they hadn't paid Paolo. So, like,
They still haven't paid Paolo. That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, he's not extension eligible until this.
Yeah, I know because he's still on his rookie contract.
Oh, yeah. It feels like that's just wild to me. I know he's going to be like a middle of the pack guy on their roster as far as like salary cap is concerned. So. You know, the Nuggets are just in a different spot right now. But, yeah, like you said, I think that there are some teams in the West that kind of, like, just kind of try to keep their head above water. But there was a lot of improvement in the East. And I think you could probably also – I just feel like it needed to be mentioned as we're talking about the losers of the offseason so far. I think the Bucks would definitely have to be in that group.
Yeah, that
so we're not just – just mentioning that, I didn't know how much we wanted to get into it because we have.
No, I love that you brought it up. No,
but yeah, because we haven't really made any moves, so we don't want to be, you know, sitting up here on our high horse talking. Oh, all these other teams didn't make any moves. Well, the Bucks obviously did not. They probably had out of the ones that we just mentioned, probably just as bad, if not worse, because we didn't lose anybody, have anybody walk necessarily, except for Malik Beasley. But
we didn't bring anybody in.
We only got DeLon Wright. So
exactly.
You know, they have it. We didn't really bring in a ton of players or make a ton of moves to get out of the cap.
No, absolutely. And like you said, we're still sitting in that second apron. But no, I love that you brought that up because that's one thing. We keep it real. We're not going to sit here and just sugarcoat it and beat around the bush. The Bucks are definitely one of the losers of this offseason. Like we said, Rob Horst has just not made enough moves so far this year. But I think it's still salvageable. I do think we still have some valuable trade pieces. We talked about it before in prior episodes with Bobby Portis, with Brooke Lopez, you know, to where we can make some sort of movement. And I'm not saying that we're going to be able to bring in some sort of superstar. I don't think we're going to be able to bring in a guy that's going to make it like – I think we're going to be able to bring a guy that makes an immediate impact on the core in terms of just, you know, because if we do trade Bobby Portis, I think whoever we bring in is going to be someone that's going to be of his caliber, if not a little bit better. And Brook Lopez as well, you know, that would be our starting center that we're losing out on. So we can have the starting center. So no matter who we switch out, I think the game and the identity of this team is going to shift a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of growing pains, you know, figuring out how to play with whatever player we bring in. But to be honest, I think that something has to be done because I don't think that running it back with the same squad, especially seeing the amount of growth in the Eastern Conference with these teams, is going to do us any good. And we're seeing teams like the Bulls, they're blowing it up. The Atlanta Hawks are blowing it up. So I think now, you know, with the teams that the problem is the change in these teams or the changes in the East are happening all in the upper, like this upper section of the East where we're supposed to be, you know? So it's just, we have to do something. We gotta make some moves happen. Obviously we want to make some magic happen. I mean, Patrick, despite all this stuff that we've said, you know, and I know that is a little bit of a sad note to bring up before bringing up something like this, who are some of the most, like, who are we looking forward to seeing the most, you know, in this next season, you know, coming up in the NBA, you know, who are some teams that, you know, that we should be looking out for just in general, you know, as NBA fans, you know, as lovers of watching the game?
That's a great question. I definitely want to just continue to see this Bucks team play together. I'm getting that out of the way first. That should be the obvious one. The big three playing more than what, like 9 games together this upcoming year. That is one of them. And just seeing what exactly the ceiling is for this Bucks team. I am intrigued about how the Magic and the Sixers match up. I think both of those teams are right in the upper echelon of the East, and I'll throw in the Knicks as well. I'm very interested to see them, but I think I have a feeling that the Knicks team is just going to look similar to what we saw. They're just going to be better than they were last year. Hopefully, Tibbs can stretch out that rotation because if Julius Randle comes back, they got plenty of guys, so they don't have to go 6-7 deep. They can go 8-9, I think. But I'm very interested to see how good the Magic can get. A lot of people were talking about Wagner's poor shooting last year, how it was slightly disappointing. I'm interested to see what KCP can bring to that squad and how offensively they can start moving. And then, yes. Just what the ceiling is for the Sixers team. When they're healthy, what does it look like? Tyrese Maxey, is he going to be the third guy or is that going to be Paul George? Like, I'm very interested to see who is the 1, 2, and threes on that squad. That's for the Eastern Conference. We can move to the Western Conference.
No, I was going to say, because I was actually going to bring it out West, because one team that I feel like is not necessarily flying under the radar, but a team that I feel like had a little bit of hype for a little bit when the postseason started, then kind of washed out. I mean, the Pelicans are going to be a team that's going to be extremely exciting to watch next year, especially with the move and the addition of DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks. I think that that's going to be super, super exciting. And to be honest, the Pelicans were winning their playing game until Zion went out injured. You know, and that's another player that I would love to mention about how we finally got to see one of his healthiest seasons in the NBA. And I think that people really do forget. I mean, me included, I really did forget his absolute dominance when he's on the floor. Like, seriously, his numbers since he's been in the league are absolutely off the charge. He's an absolute impact player inside the paint, rim protection. He just adds absolute levels to that team. And, you know, in the 2020, this last season, you know, he averaged 22.9 points per game on 5.8 rebounds, 5 assists on 57% field goal shooting, which is insane. He played 70 games this season, which is amazing. You know, and for his career, he's averaging 24.7 points, 4.1 assists, 6.5 rebounds. And let me just see. Yeah, he's averaging 0.6 blocks a game, which honestly needs to be stepped up a little bit. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, I think the addition of not – because then you have DeJounte Murray, you have CJ McCollum, then you also have Herb Jones. But, you know, and then Brandon Ingram is still on the squad. Who knows what's going to happen with them? Because I don't think they're going to be able to pay all those guys. But God forbid, seriously, if there's a world somehow where they can somehow manage to keep Brandon Ingram on the squad with Zion, I don't see it happening, first of all. I just want to put that out there very front forward. I don't see it happening. But if there's a world where that happens, I think that team is one of the scariest teams in the West when they're all healthy and when they're contending. So I think that's one of a really big team that I would love to see. Obviously, the New Look Kings with De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, and DeMontis Sabonis. I feel like that's such a good move for the Kings, because I feel like they were always just kind of lacking that other guy when De'Aaron was off the court, when Sabonis was off the court. Obviously, you know, Sabonis is a double-double machine, absolute point, inside rebound monster. But, you know, you're not really looking at him to, like, get a bucket. Oh, the game's on the line. We need you to get a point. And De'Aaron Fox has been that guy for the Kings since he's been in the league. He won the Clutch Player Award last year, I'm pretty sure, 2 years ago. But, you know, I think just adding DeMar DeRozan to that squad elevates them a little bit. DeMar DeRozan has been – sadly, he's been he's been a victim to being in the Chicago Bulls, you know, a team that just has not really made any pushes in the East recently. But yeah, I think that team would be very exciting. Patrick, you said you wanted to go to the West. What are you thinking in the West?
Oh, so I'll add to what you said. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of movement in the West. When I look at the standings, I think that the Pelicans, when they decide on who exactly they're going to go into next season with, I think this team is going to be well-rounded, and they're going to be better than the Clippers are, better than the Suns, better than the Lakers. And I think that they're probably going to be just as good, if not right around the Mavericks, especially in the regular season. And I think that puts them at the 4 and the 5, the 4 or the 5 seed. And I think they're right under the Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Thunder, but we don't know exactly who they're going with at the start of the year. So we'll see, right? Because I think that they won 49 games last year. I think that they can win 50 games this year. And I think 100%. They can kind of just separate themselves and get closer to the Minnesota Timberwolves 56 games than the Clippers 51 games, which was the big separating factor in the West standings last season, where it was the 3 seed and the 4 seed was the Timberwolves and the Clippers. So I think right now I am very excited looking at those two teams. And then I probably would also have to say, because we haven't mentioned them too much yet, we just mentioned very briefly, Klay Thompson going to the Mavericks. I don't know if I like the perimeter defense on the Mavericks team right now. I don't. I think that kind of got exposed against the Celtics.
Yeah, it did.
But I don't think Klay Thompson is really going to help with that much, but I think that's a good signing. And I think that Mavericks team is – they found something down the stretch this year, and I do expect them to come back next year and be a very tough out. I don't know if they'll get all the way to the finals. Yeah. I don't know if they'll get to the conference finals, but they will be a very tough out in the West.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to be extremely competitive, to say the least. Like you said, that Prince Rudy defense did get exposed. Luka Doncic allowed the most blow-bys ever in a game two history against the Celtics. So I think that just shows, what's to come. You know, he's got to improve on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, man, I think it's going to be super exciting. Just seeing what other moves are made in this offseason. It's going to be super exciting watching our guys in the Olympics, Team USA. Obviously, we're going to be watching Giannis for Greece, and there's just a lot of basketball to be paying attention to. And we might bring that up in future episodes, but thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Believe in Box podcast. We are doing this every Sunday now. I think we got a little bit of consistency, so make sure you guys tune in on Sundays. This has been your co-host, Luca Costa. That's the main host, the pretty face, Patrick Previty. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode. Peace out. Go Bucks.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.